He's an American pouring money into Africa. Jeremy Johnson is financial muscle behind the West African tech boom that has thrown up a blessing of unicorns, that is, a startup with a $1 billion capitalization. How difficult can this be? What is his secret? Billionaire Tomorrow sat down with the man himself. Jeremy Johnson is as humble as he is rich and successful. In this face-to-face interview, he's wearing a plain white t-shirt that could have come straight off the discount rack at a Walmart store. He's cracking jokes, talking about the weather and saying how he misses travelling to Lagos with its vibrant Afropolitan beats. On this day, it's a far cry from where Johnson speaks to us from his hotel room in Nashville, Tennessee, in the United States, where he's on business. Yet Johnson may be as humble as his clothes, but he is listed on the New York Stock Exchange by the time he was 30, and he's also the man behind 2U and Andela. The latter is now a $1.5 billion business, the only non-fintech unicorn from Africa that finds engineers for more than 200 tech companies, including the likes of GitHub, Cloudflare, and Viacom CBS in more than 80 countries. We're the first of what's going to be a stampede of unicorns. It's a matter of time. We're seeing a long-term shift of the world starting to pay more and more attention to Africa, as they should. From what I've been seeing over the past 5 or 6 years of high-growth technology startups across Africa, says Johnson. It's been an unusual route to becoming an investor in Africa. Johnson dropped out of the Ivy League college Princeton, age 21, to build his businesses. The educational technology company called 2U. The US-based EdTech provides educational resources to create online classes and create degree programs, and was behind the purchase of Cape Town-based Get Smarter. The origins of Andela start with an equally humble gathering of tech and education experts hosted by the MasterCard Foundation in Nairobi, where a longtime friend, Christina Sass, who would later end up as a co-founder and president of Andela, invited Johnson to speak. It was at this conference Johnson first came across the idea of investing in Africa. It was based on a vision of finding sharp African talent to train as technicians to work remotely for some of the world's top businesses. It sounded crazy back in 2014, but not so in 2022. Senior leaders from around the continent, largely donors and recipients, came to talk through what was happening around the world and tried to share knowledge that can help accelerate each of their efforts. That kicked off this whole crazy thought process around how you would try to leverage education to generate opportunity across emerging markets, says Johnson. Johnson says he was blown away by how different the reality of living in Africa was compared with what he had heard back home. I think that the news, especially then, was all too often focused on, you know, poverty and disease, as opposed to the really exciting things taking place at this point. Almost every major urban centre on the continent has a thriving, rapidly growing technology ecosystem that is going to be a big deal in the years to come. People just weren't talking about it, that is all. A chance meeting with a Nigerian in New York, who was to become a mover and shaker in the West African tech business, by the name of Ian Abuyeje, who went on to co-found another unicorn, Flutterwave. "I said I've got this crazy idea for you," he records. "I'm talking to Christina Sass about potentially launching a program to identify super smart, basically very high aptitude and high cognitive processing young people and train them to be software developers. Do you want to do this? Like, what do you want to shift your business? If you do, I will fund it." He came back a day later after talking to his other three co-founders and they were like, "All right, we're in." Luckily for Abuyeje, Johnson, who had spent time in Accra, was benevolent towards a persistent stranger from Africa. "I had this bad habit when I was growing up," he said, says Abuyeje. "I was bugging people with email. You don't want to be on the other side of my emails. I was just emailing him and then the responding out of the blue, and I was about to leave New York and he said, 'Let's go out for a Fresh and Coke.' That was the meeting that changed my life." In English, Fresh and Coke is salad and a fizzy drink. Did it go down well? "I didn't eat the salad. Us Lagosians like our meat," says Abuyeje. Jeremy Johnson and his team of technical entrepreneurs, Bryce Nkengesa, Christina Sass, Ian Cannavale, Abu Yeji, and Nadia Enegesi. On the busy streets of Lagos, this team set about its dream. Going back to those early days, Nigeria feels like a second home to me at this point. Nigeria is a fantastic place for us to start because everything else seemed easy afterwards. When you're walking around in the air, it's this feeling as if it's electricity is coursing through it. I think our very first office, and like teaching soft skills myself to engineers and working with Enegesi to develop the curriculum, I remember the energy and the excitement and this feeling from a room of people and that we were going to change the narrative around the continent. A mere 7 years later, that small dream is now worth $1.5 billion. Andela is a story of surging momentum around the continent and eventually around the world. Our founding values and our founding mission were really, really clear from the beginning. And I think that created a level of clarity that enabled the energy and momentum, says Johnson. Johnson calls it a global talent marketplace that connects global companies with vetted remote technologists from Africa. Andela is the definition of the kind of story that couldn't happen if people from different backgrounds didn't come together to believe in something bigger than themselves. Like, it would just have been impossible. You had two people from Nigeria, two from the US, one from Cameroon, and one from Canada. From a small office space in Lagos without even a website, Abu Yeji looked for engineers over Twitter. I look back to those early days, you know, it was chaos, just like any startup. We were trying to prove one step at a time that brilliance was evenly distributed. First, we had to source and confirm that brilliance, and for our first cohort, we were looking for four people. We ended up with 750 applicants, even though we had no website at this point. Next, the company decided to run a second pilot, this time including an aptitude test as a filter in finding only the smartest. This time, 2,400 applied. We still have no website whatsoever, literally just on Twitter. It was a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants-like operation. And the testing service calls and says, what on earth are you guys doing? We've never seen so many applicants for a job. And by the way, are you aware of the 2,400 applicants? 42 of the applicants are in the top 2% aptitude and problem-solving of all humans on the planet. This was the point. The team realized they were onto something. The company began by selecting a few to train in their hub over 6 months and pay them a salary, along with providing them with housing and food. Once trained, they were slotted into businesses. In just a few years, the company went from recruiting developers in Lagos to the rest of Nigeria, then to Kenya, then to Uganda, Rwanda. Along the way, they garnered the backing of investors, including SoftBank, Whale Rock, Generation Investment Management, Spark Capital, and Google Ventures. Even the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, founded by Dr. Priscilla Chan, wife of Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, wanted to invest $24 million to train more engineers in Africa to get tech jobs during a Series B round in 2016. Abu Yeji and Johnson sparked this interest when they cannily wrote an article for the Wall Street Journal asking, will the next Mark Zuckerberg come from Africa? The Chan Zuckerberg Initiative is obviously at the epicenter of a lot of what's happening in the global tech ecosystem, especially in terms of helping global engineering leaders understand that Andela was a quality offering, he says. With a placement rate of 96%, their ticket to success was not just finding the right people, but put in the right people in the right jobs and able to increase income by 64% on average from an engineer's previous job. According to TechCrunch, 100,000 engineers have taken part in the company's learning network and community. And as of 2019, Andela had more than 1,500 engineers on its payroll. We wouldn't have started in Nigeria without Abu Yeji and Enegesi. I haven't even been to Nigeria when we started in Andela. I came for the first time to do basically interviews for our first cohort of applicants. Some of the toughest challenges the founding team faced was operating over two continents, having to decide on splitting the work up between attaining clients in New York and identifying talent in Africa. At the time, for many people who invested, it was the first time investing in Africa. A lot of people thought it was crazy, the response. I mean, you just had this great outcome. Your previous company, like, you can't be that crazy here. And obviously, investment in Africa looks very different now, 7 years later, than it did in 2014. In 2019, things changed when the global pandemic struck. Andela's business model wasn't sustainable, and it let 420 junior engineers in Kenya, Uganda, and Nigeria go. Soon after, 135 employees were laid off, as well as salary cuts. COVID-19 lockdowns, however, encouraged the business, like many other businesses, to pivot internationally and start working remotely. They saw a turnaround and recorded a 500% growth in applications in the last 6 months, or 2021. This was because shifting internationally allowed the business to hire in Asia and the Americas, circumventing issues with Africans working across different time zones and bringing on more clients. For someone hiring in the UK, Nigeria is perfect, but if someone's hiring in San Francisco, surely it makes more sense to hire from Argentina. Time zone still matters, even in the fully distributed world, in most cases. And so that has allowed us to continue refining our algorithms. Our algorithms and the approach to placement to be able to have a more and more perfect fit between companies and global talent. What's become clear is that roughly 10 years of the trends have made Andela possible in the first place. We have basically been compressed into the past 18 months. What we're seeing from clients now, particularly in North America and Europe, is increased comfort with the idea of building our global teams. If the world of remote work continues advancing, it will create an entirely new set of opportunities for how you bring people together. Although the world of work, and that's what we're experiencing right now at Andela, the thing that's become very clear is that it's not just a pandemic story. This is the acceleration of trends, even as the world starts to slowly open back up. For the moment, the business remains squarely focused on bringing African talent to the world. Johnson says about 70% of their engineers are from Africa and expects it to be the majority for a very long time. I've met dozens of young Africans who've taught themselves to code on smartphones, things like that, that people in the US couldn't even fathom. It was their resilience that I was blown away by. As for the future and what trends Johnson has his eye on, by 2040 you will have more people graduating high school in Africa than the rest of the world combined, he says. I think that the world is going to have a perpetual shortage of talent for decades to come. Like automation is not going to catch up fast enough. And as a result, like smart people who are curious are going to be needed all over the world. You're going to be increasingly have companies to bring open hiring anywhere. I think it's going to be one of the most exciting things that ever happened to any continent anywhere, he says. Africa is going to follow a path that looks a bit like Southeast Asia, and the extraordinary growth experience over the last 20 years, largely driven by human capital and an export of knowledge of work. I, for one, am very excited to see that, and I hope that we played a role in helping to accelerate that. As for the skill sets of the future, you should be investing, he says. If there's one thing you should learn now is how to build on the blockchain right now. If I got two things, it would be learning how to build on the blockchain and simultaneously learning how to engage from a business standpoint with people across cultures. And walking between worlds is going to become increasingly important. Africa is 54 very different countries, and often it gets kind of bundled together. Each of those countries is still relatively a small market, but collectively it's one of the biggest, you know, biggest blocks of human talent in the world. But I think that people who have spent time going between countries and engaging with people from different backgrounds across the opposite are really, really, really well positioned. Not a bad return on investment for a humble idea born in Nairobi, forged in the vibrant streets of Lagos on its way to becoming a $1.5 billion unicorn.